May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning is the parable of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10. You may be seated. Dear saints, I dare say we've all heard this parable, probably more than once. It's one of those few stories from the Bible that even many outside the church at least have a passing familiarity with. We hear about Good Samaritans on the news, possibly someone stopping to help somebody in need on the side of the road. It's a relatively straightforward story. One guy is robbed and beat up and left for dead on the side of the road. Two guys who should help him don't. They just walk by on the other side. And a third guy, someone we would expect not to help, helps. Now, go be like the third guy. Amen. But if that were all there were to this parable, it wouldn't really be much of a parable, would it? Parables are designed to teach us something about ourselves and something about the kingdom of God. They are more than just a story with a moral, like an Aesop's fable or something. So what's really going on here? Well, first consider what prompts the parable. A person, a lawyer no less, an expert in Old Testament law, comes up to Jesus and asks him a somewhat familiar question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus leads him to answer his own question. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Seems like a good answer, but the lawyer isn't satisfied. So he asks, "And who is my neighbor? Who, Jesus, do I need to love as much as I love myself? Can you possibly narrow down this neighbor thing for me, Jesus? I want to make sure I love the people I'm supposed to, and so I can ignore the people that I don't need to love. That would be helpful." The text says the lawyer asked this in order to justify himself. Either he wanted to appear smart in front of all his lawyer friends, or he truly wanted to know what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. So Jesus responds with the parable. On the surface, Jesus would seem to completely answer the man's question, but you have to know that Jews and Samaritans in Jesus' day did not get along at all. This was not merely a racial or ethnic tension. Jews and Samaritans hated each other for historical and religious reasons. In fact, you could call them enemies. So when Jesus tells this lawyer, you have to go behave and love like the Good Samaritan loved, he's telling him you have to love your enemy as much as you love yourself. I don't know about you, but I tend to love myself quite a bit. All those other people? What exactly does this love for neighbor slash enemy look like? In what way do we have to love those who we possibly disagree with? For example, that person at work who tells us we have to celebrate Pride Month, or that person who tells us there's really no difference between a man and a woman, or that person who tells us an unborn baby, that's just a lump of cells. Or maybe a family member who comes to you and tells you, well, I'm living with my fiance, even though we're not married yet, but that's okay. Or we're helping our child to transition. Or maybe there's a family member who tells you, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Or worse, I don't think I'm a Christian anymore. These are those with whom we have deep theological and philosophical differences, some of our neighbors, we can't even agree with on what a human being is, much less what male and female is. And Jesus tells us, these two are your neighbors. I'm not talking about some extremist on TV or some politician just fishing for a soundbite. I'm talking about people you know, people at work, people in your own family. How do we love them? On the one hand, I think there may be two opposite extremes we may go to in such situations. The first extreme is to run off into our own little world, try to go find an island somewhere that we can live on, just not deal with such people. I'm not going to deal with their problems. Maybe they're not even worthy of me interacting with them. Or we may be justifiably worried that we will say something we will later regret, so we say nothing. The other extreme is to just be accepting of everything that comes our way. The word the world uses now is tolerant. Love turns into this touchy-feely, squishy sort of, oh, you're fine just the way God made you. You do whatever you want. It's okay. We still love you. Where we think love means just accepting whatever it is that somebody else does. As if there is no such thing as spiritual sickness or spiritual death. Is that love? If someone you know were to tell you, walk up to you and say, I'm gonna go jump off that cliff over there, I'm pretty sure I'll be okay. And you go over to the edge of the cliff and you look, and it's about 100 feet down, and there's sharp rocks down there. It's a cliff that no one could survive jumping off of, and you say to them, yeah, I think you'll be all right. Is that love? But how about the Good Samaritan? How does this Samaritan love his enemy Jew that he sees on the side of the road? Courageously and boldly. Now think about what could have gone wrong with the Samaritan helping this poor man. Well, most obviously, somebody beat him up and robbed him, and what if they're still lurking around the next rock? Or what about the priest and the Levite? What if they're still around? What if they saw? What would they think? What would they say or do? They wouldn't help this man for some reason. How much care is this guy going to need? I mean, he looks pretty bad. How much is this going to cost? Do I have to take him somewhere? I've got places to go. I've got things to do. But the Samaritan spares no expense or embarrassment or even mockery. He simply does what needs to be done and helps the man with what he needs. We also should be bold and courageous. Some of your neighbors may need a little bit of help. A little bit of money, a little bit of time. They may need an ear to hear them. They may need a shoulder to cry on. Or they may need to hear the truth. They may need to see what is true and good and beautiful modeled in you. They may need to know what is true about male and female and sex and unborn babies and families and civic duty. They may need to know that it's not okay just to simply do whatever you want, that there is such a thing as spiritual sickness and death. But be warned, love is costly. In terms of money or time, maybe. But it may also cost you the affection of a family member. It may cost a friendship. It may cost a promotion at work. Or a job, or who knows what else. Consider the faithful in Hebrews 11, of whom it is said, others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword, they went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Love of what is right and faith in the Lord can be costly. I think one difficulty you and I have as we hear the parable of the Good Samaritan is we're trying to figure out which person in the parable we are playing. What is our role in the parable? We want to be the Good Samaritan. And of course, Jesus tells the lawyer at the end that is exactly what he should do. He should go love as the Good Samaritan loved. And so there is this ethical dimension to the parable. There is something there for us to learn about loving our neighbor, for sure. But if we're honest with ourselves, maybe we should be the robbers. Or maybe we should be the priest and the Levite that just walk by on the other side, ignoring the problem, not wanting to get involved. We don't want to deal with whatever that person's going through. But what if instead we see ourselves as the victim? The poor sap on the side of the road, beaten up, his money taken, left for dead, left dying. And those things or people that you expect might help you simply don't. Maybe you're beat up by the world, by broken relationships. Maybe there's some shame or dignity you've incurred from someone else somehow. Maybe you've been mistreated by those who love you. Who is there to help you? And what if the one person who can help you, you've made an enemy of them? And what if that person helps you anyway? For we do have our own good Samaritan, one who loves us and doesn't consider the cost, one who loves us boldly and courageously, one who comes to us where we are in flesh and blood, and with his spirit to those of us who are flesh and blood and spirit, one who, despite our sinful condition, binds up our brokenness, heals our diseases, casts out our fears, forgives our sins, picks us up, brings him to himself, pours upon us the cleansing waters of holy baptism, delivers us to eternal life, and then keeps taking care of us. Keeps feeding us with his word, keeps feeding us with his body and blood, one who takes us to the inn of his church, where he cares for us. Our good Samaritan is, of course, Jesus. And what did it cost him? What did it cost him to love you and me that much? He had to leave heaven. He had to dwell among us sinners. He subjected himself to see all the chaos and evil and disorder in a world that he remembers creating good and ordered and perfect. He was rejected, betrayed, abandoned, mocked, scourged, crucified, forsaken by his Father. He had to die on a cross. That's what it cost. And he paid the price gladly. For he knew it was for your good. He knew that you couldn't pick yourself up, dead, half dead, on the road, pick yourself up, walk yourself back to Jerusalem, into his kingdom of heaven. So he did it for you. And though he died, he still lives. And though you die, you will live, because he gives you his life. He is the one who shows mercy to you. He is your neighbor. And as one who has been brought in to the inn of the kingdom of heaven, as those who have had our debts paid, we are sometimes led out into the wilderness where there lie other broken people, to be neighbors to them, those who have been beat up by this world, beat up by their own sin, beat up by the lies of this age, assaulted by the devil himself, so that they too can know the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.